Today, I want to talk about another function of the priesthood, and that is prayer. And I want to talk about prayer and how it pertains to revival and about seeing revival. And we haven't seen it yet.
Thank God.
Revival is happening in the earth, but it hasn't touched us yet. We felt some drops, but I want to feel more than drops, don't you? I want the downpour.
Amen.
I want the fire. And that's what God wants to do. But as I said before, a lot of times we wait on God when He's actually waiting on us. And I've studied the great revivals of the past. And not a single one of those revivals happened without heavy-duty prayer.
Amen.
Heavy-duty prayer. Hours and hours and hours of prayer. Years of prayer. A lot of prayer. God wants His people to pray. Nothing can be accomplished in this world without prayer.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, it is so important to study the Word of God. That is extremely important. But that is not enough. You've got to have the Word and prayer. The Word without prayer is like sunshine without rain. You've got to have both. And in Let's turn over there quickly. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. John is speaking here. It said the whole nation, I'm not sure if it said the whole nation, but the whole place round about where John was went to John to be baptized.
Amen.
To get baptized. That was a whole lot of people that went to John to be baptized. And if you study the scriptures, it talks about the baptism of John was unto repentance. But that's as far as it went. And there are many churches today that preach repentance. And repentance is absolutely necessary. And it's necessary for us too, not just to get saved. But the revivals that I'm talking about came with prayer and repentance.
Amen.
Repentance. Because often after we're saved, or after we come to know the Lord, or believe in the Lord, then we start growing as babes in Christ. We start growing, we start learning, we start walking out these things. And sometimes, as we studied in Haggai about them building the house of God, and they got sidetracked and started building their own houses, sometimes that can happen to us. I believe it happens to us more often than we would like to admit.
Thank you.
The Bible says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. We need to set our minds, we need to let the mind of Christ be in us.
Thank you, Lord.
And as I've said over and over and over, number one on God's agenda is saving souls. And if that's not number one in our lives, something's wrong.
Amen.
And there's room for repentance. And not just our own family. But He is interested in saving the world.
Thank
and often
Lord.
If we'll get our minds off of our own families, and I know it's hard and I know it hurts. I have members in my family that I want so badly to see saved. Because I see them hurting. And even some of them that are saved, they're perishing from lack of knowledge. They're not living an abundant life, and they're miserable because, you know, they don't know what they can have in the Lord. But the Lord has called us not only to our own families or to our own selves or our own children or grandchildren or sisters and brothers, aunts and uncles, etc. He's called us to be witnesses.
Amen.
To the world. Matthew 3, verse 11. I indeed, John is speaking here, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire.
Amen.
The fire is what we need. We have a lot of people going around thinking that they have the Holy Ghost, and they don't. Because if you've got the Holy Ghost, you're going to do the works of the Holy Ghost, not your own works.
Amen.
You're going to speak the words of the Holy Ghost and not your own words. And you're not going to do what you want to do or what other people want you to do or what the world wants you to do, but what the Holy Ghost wants you to do.
Thank you, Lord.
Because He won't fool with you if you're not going to be obedient. You know, He's long-suffering and He still loves us. When Jesus was born, He was born of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit went into Mary, His mother, and He was born of the Spirit. He was altogether God and altogether man.
Thank you, Lord.
But when He went to John to be baptized, He got the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
There is more and more and more that we need. And even when they got it on the day of Pentecost or Shavuot, when the Holy Ghost came down, then later they got it again. They got filled again.
Yes.
There are baptisms. And we need to go on into the meat and get off the milk. But we cannot do it as long as our minds are concentrated on our own selves and our own things and what we want. And what we want God to do for us. He's not an errand boy.
Amen.
God is not our errand boy.
Thank God.
And that's something I've had to learn. Sometimes the hard way. But I'm thankful that the Lord doesn't give up on us. But we need to grow up. We need to learn that. The Holy Ghost is not sent forth for our personal stuff.
Thank you, Lord.
Unless our personal stuff is advancing the kingdom of God. If it's something, I'm not against believing for new vehicles or new homes or anything like that. That's a good exercise in faith. But don't be stuck there.
Amen.
Don't be stuck there. We are not called to believe for the riches of this world. We're supposed to lay up storehouse in heaven, the riches of heaven. God is my portion. That's what I want. He said, if you seek Him, all these other things, you don't need to seek them. If you're seeking them, there's room for repentance. Something's wrong if you're seeking things or what God can do for you personally. Then something's wrong and there's room for change. There's room for repentance. And I'm not bringing condemnation, but the Lord wants us to move on. So that we can walk in His power and His glory and see people be delivered. See people be saved. I want to see people saved. Listen. When Charles Finney preached, 7,000 people a week gave their lives to the Lord. 7,000 people a week. That's revival. That's what I want to see. This building holds a lot of people. We can see that. We can have that. But we are going to have to do something. We can't keep waiting on God. We'll miss it. He'll go to someone else who's prepared, who's living a holy life, a godly life, who's ready and willing and praying. Jesus prayed. And He told us to pray, Thy kingdom come.
Amen.
Well, if Jesus was already here, why did He tell us to pray that? Because nothing can be accomplished without prayer.
Thank you.
And I want you this week to meditate on what people call the Lord's Prayer or the prayer, what we call the prayer He gave us to pray. Meditate on that. Pray, Thy kingdom come in me.
Amen.
Thy kingdom come in me. That's where revival starts in each one of us. Thy will be done in me.
Amen.
And give up yourself. Give up your own desires. It's not easy. It takes a daily dying, moment by moment sometimes. Not doing what you want to do, but praying about everything.
Thank you,
Jesus. And I'll just give you a little bit of history here. In 1901, there was a man named Reverend Parham. He started seeking the Holy Ghost. And he started praying. He had a Bible school, and his Bible school, I think, was in maybe Kansas or somewhere like that. But anyway, he moved it to Houston, Texas. And a man went to attend his school, a black man that most of you probably have heard of. His name was William Seymour, Daddy Seymour. He went to attend that Bible school, but in Texas the law was that blacks could not attend white schools. Well, Reverend Parham followed a higher law, and he fudged on the law, and he let him sit out in the hall to listen to the classes. Because that man had such a hunger in him, a thirst in him, and that's what we need. You can't be filled if you're not hungry, if you're not thirsty. And he had such a thirst in him that he went against all the rules. He even, you know, for him to even attempt to go to this Bible school was taking a chance with his life at that time. It was radical. But he did it anyway because his hunger was greater than his fear.
Amen.
That's what we need. We're so afraid of things being a little different or abnormal or change. But we're going to have to be open to change. You know, don't be afraid of flesh. Anytime there's revival, flesh is going to manifest too. That's just the way it is.
Yes.
You know? But at least the people that are manifesting flesh are in the church and not out there drinking and drugging and whatever else. You know, at least they're in the church and we can help them grow. They just need to grow. They're just immature. And we have to allow for some of that. Because when you're a young, even when you're an older Christian, you know, when you feel the power of the Holy Ghost, it affects your body.
Yes.
When you feel that fire, it's hard to be still. I mean, your body, you feel it, you know. Some people cry. Some people dance. But don't, you know, you can sit in judgment if you want to, but it'll pass you by.
Amen.
You know, why not enter in into the glory and the joy that you can have? But I just wanted to mention that. We shouldn't judge and we shouldn't worry about all that stuff. We shouldn't let that hinder us. You know, God may change things around a little bit. He may change things around in your personal life. He has mine. So anyway, he goes to this Bible school and they let him sit out in the hall. And he got so fired up and filled up. And he was invited to pastor a church in California. In Los Angeles, California, a holiness church. So he accepted and he went out there and he started preaching about the Holy Ghost and they kicked him out. Well, some people in house invited him to come and have prayer meetings. That's where we let prayer meetings.
Amen.
And those people prayed. And the Holy Ghost came down and you've heard of Azusa Street. That's what it was.
Amen.
That's what happened. In a house. Actually, it happened in a house on another street, and the people were flocked outside. That's revival. There was no room. They were out on the street. They were so hungry for what was happening there. They were drawn by the Spirit to that place. So they got this junky old warehouse building on Azusa Street. They had 3 or 4 services a day. They prayed. Most of the time, I read that you could find Daddy Seymour behind the pulpit, covered up, with his head covered up, maybe a blanket, I don't know, praying. He's waiting on us. We have to pray. We've
Amen.
Got to have prayer. We've got to have prayer. We've
Thank
got to
Lord.
Be willing to give up ourselves and put aside things of ourselves and get in prayer. If we truly want to see, and I pray that he will put such a hunger and a thirst and a desire in you that you will be willing to forget about yourself and your own things and care about a lost and dying world. You know, the Lord is grieved. He's grieved when we don't care about the things he cares about. And he shed his blood for the salvation of souls. You know, and I'm not saying anything against all the good things that you hear preached about or taught about. We need to learn. We need to, you know, exercise our faith for what we need. The Lord wants us to have abundant life. You know me. You've heard my teaching enough to know that I am all for abundant life in every way.
Amen.
In every way. Spirit, soul, and body. But the Bible says he wants us to prosper and be in health as our soul prosper.
Amen.
And that's where the bottom line is, your soul. And your soul can't prosper. You know, you have to seek the kingdom of God first. Seek the kingdom of God first. If you'll begin to do that, you'll start changing.
Amen.
And whatever's in your soul, your body's going to follow. If the Spirit of God is in you, if you don't feel the hunger and the drawing and just the intercession of your soul for the lost, then you're not letting His Spirit operate. You're quenching it and thereby grieving Him. If you have the Spirit of God in you, let it flow. Stop thinking on things on the earth. Things on the earth. Things of the earth. We're not of the earth. We are not of the earth.
Amen.
We are not of the earth. We are not mere human beings. We are not like other people. We're not supposed to live like other people. We're supposed to live holy. God can't trust you with His power if you don't live a holy life on a daily basis.
Amen.
He won't do it. If you lie to your brethren, if you gossip, if you whatever, get the sin out. He will help you. He's our helper. Get it out. Get it out so you can be used. He said, "Be ye holy as I am holy." You know, repentance is not hard. We all need it. There's room in all of us for repentance. I don't know anybody that's reached perfection yet. We're holy by the blood of the Lamb. But I don't see this. I don't see the lame walking. I don't see the blind seeing. I don't see the deaf ears being opened. Now, I do see that in some parts of the world. But I want to see it here. I'm here. I'm here. I want to see it here. I want to see revival here. God wants to see it here. You know, look at David when he was in the cave. All the discontented ones were gathered around him.
Yes.
You know, our lives are goofed up sometimes. But if we just begin to concentrate on the kingdom of God and what He's about and be about our Father's business, oh, we forget so quickly. It's a daily battle. But I am after the devil. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 19:10, to seek and to save that which was lost. And He came to destroy the works of the devil.
Amen.
To destroy the works of the devil. And that's setting people free.
Amen.
To destroy the works of the devil. You know, sometimes I can feel when I wake up in the morning, the devil's right there waiting. Or demons, you know, maybe not Satan himself, but demons are right there waiting. Blowing the alarm. She's awake now. Let's go. You know, you've got to stay in the Word. You've got to stay in prayer. You've got to stay built up every day. Every day. Every day you've got to die to yourself. You can't just accept whatever your mind thinks. The enemy's going to put thoughts in your mind. He's going to say, you're this, you're that, you're tired, you're sick, you're poor, you can't do anything. Anytime any negative thing comes to you, it is not from God. It's not from God. It's not from God. Because God will say, you can do it. You can do it. I have called you. I have anointed you. I want to fill you with my fire. Our God is a consuming fire.
Thank you, Lord.
And that fire consumes the works of the enemy.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay, I said Isaiah 43, verse 18. You have to rightly divide the word. 43:18. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, what were we just doing? We were remembering the former things, weren't we? You've got to rightly divide the word. Many times God told the Israelites, remember the great things that I did. It'll give you courage to go on. That's why we remember. That's why we want to see. We want to see. Compare what's now to what God has done in the past. When Jonathan Edwards preached, people saw the floor open up and flames of fire come out.
Amen.
Whole communities, whole towns, whole cities got saved. Bars closed down.
Amen.
Just about everybody in the town got saved. How many want to see everybody in your family saved? Hey, God did that for one man. We don't see the angels that are just waiting. We have to prepare our hearts first. Okay, remember. So that's enough remembering the former things. Now we're going to concentrate on now. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. I will do a new thing.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now it shall spring forth. But it cannot if we don't cooperate.
Amen.
These people prayed. And they prayed sometimes for years. Well, I believe God can do a quick work. I don't believe we have to pray for years. I believe if we get in one mind and one accord and start praying and quit praying for our own things.
Amen.
Stop praying for our own things and pray for the kingdom of God. His will is the salvation of souls. And He wants to use each one of us. He wants to use each one of you. He doesn't leave anyone out. I have said that over and over and over. It doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. God will use anybody that prepares their vessel.
Thank you, Lord.
But you have to... You've got to do something. You can't just keep waiting on God. You have to do something. You have to show Him you're serious about serving Him. That you're serious about these things.
Thank you, Lord.
I mean, quit being lukewarm. Get off the fence. Get on one side
Thank
or the
you,
other.
Lord.
Or you're going to be left behind. I don't want to be left behind, do you? None of us
Thank
really do.
You, Lord.
We don't want to be left behind. We want to be part of it. It's work. Are we too lazy? It's work. But there is nothing more satisfying than the work of the Lord. There is nothing more glorious. There's nothing that brings more joy. Hallelujah. There's nothing. Nothing. Believe me, I know. I've tried a whole lot of things. Maybe not everything, but I've tried a lot in the past before I knew the Lord. And there is nothing, nothing, nothing. I wouldn't trade one moment. Even through all the trials that I've had, I would not trade one moment. Thank you, Lord. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls. When a man's ways please the Lord, he'll make even his enemies be at peace with him. You know, demons have to honor you.
Yes.
You know, they may be waiting for me when I wake up, but they have to obey what I say. You know, as soon as I get awake, it's like, get out of here. You're trespassing. You can't just bind them one time and expect them to be bound your whole life. You've got to do what the Lord says do. You've got to be obedient. Hallelujah. Because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. There are so many that are hurting. There are so many. Don't criticize them. They're blind, they're deaf, they're dumb.
Amen.
Love them. Consecrate yourself. Consecrate yourself. The Lord is calling us this week to consecrate. And some of you are. Some of you are seeking the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul. You know? But we need to just keep on. And we need to... I've been seeking the Lord with everything that's within me. But we get sidetracked. And we get our eyes back on ourselves. Me, me, me. You know, what are you going to do through me? Or what are you going to do for me? Or what are you going to do for my family? Or where are you going to, you know, take us and all this? I'm guilty of that. How are you going to use me? Or I want. Give me, give me, give me. I'm speaking to all of us. The Lord's speaking to all of us. To regroup, to refocus, to get our eyes on the kingdom of God. And I encourage you this week, when you wake up in the morning, you know, be doers of the word and not hearers only.
Amen.
When I heard our pastor give the scripture that she quotes every morning, buddy, I wrote that down real quick.
Amen.
Before it could get away from me.
Amen.
Before I forget it, I wrote that down, and I started doing it.
It works.
It works. My life started changing.
It works.
I mean, it was already changing, but then it started like you hit the gas pedal. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Verse 21. This people have I formed for myself. This people have I formed for myself.
Amen.
You are not here by accident. You were chosen in Him before the foundation of the earth. Before the foundation of the world, you were chosen in Him. They shall show forth my praise.
Thank the Lord.
But you've got to cooperate with the Spirit of the Lord. Daily. Daily. Consecration. Dedication. Prayer. Repentance. Constantly seeking the Lord with your whole heart. And if you don't feel like it, ask Him to make you feel like it.